Hey, welcome back again to another episode of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, where they call me Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are a Chris and Rob kind of thing. If you want to call into the program, the phone number is 749-1444. Again, the phone number 749-1444. Taking your calls for another hour and 55 minutes. And I'm sure we'll be having a good time. Tonight, about 15, 20 minutes ago, something like that, St. Louis Cardinals slugger Mark McGwire. He looks like a big steroid wrestling kind of, big time wrestling kind of guy with a red goatee. He looks like a tough guy. He broke the home run record just tonight, like about 20 minutes ago. Hit 62 home runs to surpass a 1961 record set by New York Yankee Roger Maris, who, by the way, is not in the Hall of Fame. And to discuss this record-breaking Major League event, we've asked
another guy who's not in the Hall of Fame
to join the program tonight, and that would be Bill Lee.
From the University of Southern California, the Boston Red Sox, the Montreal Expos, and now the hills of New England, Bill Lee, welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Well, hello.
How are you doing this evening?
Oh, just watching the game like everybody else in America. Well, I went to USC. McGwire went to USC.
So you were pulling for him.
Rodrigo, well, yeah. Well, I wasn't pulling for him. He's a hitter. But
And you were a pitcher. Let me ask you something, Bill Lee. If you had been pitching a ball to somebody who was about to break a record back during your career, let's say you would have been pitching against Pete Rose when he was about to hit 41-92 to beat Ty Cobb, or if you were pitching today against Mark McGwire to hit home run number 62, would you groove him one?
No, I'd bear down and try and get him out, you know, make him earn it. You know, I think he would want to earn it. I don't think he would want to get a gift.
Even if the Expos were up 10 to nothing?
Yeah,
there was nobody on base?
No, I don't do anything for fame or glory. I do things for... I play the game one way and one way only, and that's to play it. And the better the game and the better the competition, the better you're supposed to rise to that occasion. And, I wouldn't have... The pitch McGwire hit was actually a pretty good pitch.
It looked like it was low and inside, and he just golfed it
out.
Well,
yeah, the pitch he got him out on the first time was low outside. He tried to throw him the same pitch. He got a little bit more of the plate. And McGwire hit it on the end and toe-hooked it around the left field foul pole. So, you know, in the scheme of home runs that he hit, it was probably the worst home run he hit all year.
Well, Bill Lee, have you heard about a young pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, Brett Tomko, about a week ago when the Cincinnati Reds were in St. Louis playing a 3- or 4-game stand? Somebody was interviewing Brett Tomko and asked him, you know, if you were pitching against McGwire and the big home run was due, would you groove him one? And Tomko said, hell yeah.
No, Tomko didn't say he'd groove him one. He said he wouldn't mind being the guy to give it up since somebody has to give it up, and it wouldn't bother him to be the guy giving up. He said he would tell, you know, if the game, if the situation was right, he'd have the catcher tell him what pitch was coming. Later on, he said that kind of jokingly, was my understanding of it.
Psychologically, people say that when they're nervous and they don't really have a grasp of exactly what they're saying. And he, by doing that, he wouldn't groove it. And it's a way of, when you do fail, failing being giving up the home run to him, you kind of patch it over so it doesn't hurt as bad. And I gave up the last home run in 1974 to Henry Aaron, which could have been his last home run of his career. But he continued to play on, and I actually pitched to him where I always pitched around him or away from him. And they just walked McGwire to get to Langford, and Langford just hit a 3-run homer. So, you know, that's Riggleman for you. Poor Cubbies are going to go down like the big goat again.
So, you know, the Cubs and the Red Sox have very similar career paths.
And they're both swallowing the big olive late in the season. But what's new? They both go to the Philippines and become the Manila Folders. But Tomko, I watched Tomko pitch against, I guess it was the last game they had before Sosa came into town. In Tomko's fastball, he could run the ball by McGwire all day long, belt high and above.
Yeah, he's throwing at 95 miles an hour in a few pitches.
All you have to do is tell McGwire, I'm coming with my hard one, and it's going to be in the strike zone, but it's going to be marginal strike just above the belt, and McGwire couldn't hit him.
What about that, Bill? Your career ended in the early 80s?
Yeah.
How was the strike zone back then compared to now? We're hearing a lot today about the strike zone is short and wide. How was it in the 70s and 80s?
About the same. They didn't call a high fastball back then, and I like a short and wide strike zone. I like it down, and if you give me an inch on the outside, I'll, Maddux and Glavin.
They get 3 or 4 inches sometimes.
Yeah, you could live with that. I think if you're a pitcher and you can put the ball 2 inches outside consistently, after you've thrown one right on the outside corner, it's just expanding the strike zone. And that's called pitching. And hitters will chase, and sometimes they'll, sometimes umpires won't give it to you. But most of the time, if you know you can pitch, like this guy Merker throwing for St. Louis, he's all over the place. So when he does make a perfect pitch, he's not going to get it called because he's a thrower. He's not a pitcher.
Well, I thought that if this season should have an asterisk by it, it's the fact that McGuire hit 61 off Mike Morgan, who is released by the Reds, and he's pitching for the Cubs, who are supposedly in the hunt for the wild card, and you got to make them wonder how serious of a contender are they if they got a pill like Mike Morgan out there pitching to the Cardinals.
Well, pitching's one thing that's recycled. You got young kids that are dumb. You got old kids that are beat up and they hurt, and but they still know how to pitch. And managers tend to want to go with older guys that know how to pitch than young guys that are dumb as a post and throw too many fastballs right down the middle. So, we've created a monster with bad pitching in our society, and that's because of specialization, the designated hitter, AstroTurf, aluminum bats, and all these things that kids got to put up with growing up. McGuire was a pitcher at USC. Dave Kingman was a pitcher at USC. And
Johnny Bench was a pitcher too.
Huh?
Johnny Bench was originally a pitcher in college too, I think.
I wouldn't doubt it. And then guys with they realized that hitting's where the money is. Hitting, you get to play every day. It's a much. You didn't see. There's another home run that Gant hit dead center field. Well, boy, I'll tell you, Traxel just giving them up left and right now. But I'll tell you one thing. You don't see McGuire. He's hugging Sosa. He's hugging everybody else. You didn't go see him hug the pitcher, you know.
he's probably buying the pitcher around later tonight.
Well, no. You didn't. If Traxel got a base hit and was at first base, did McGuire acknowledge his presence or anything else? It's a two-tiered society we've got, you know. It's them and us. And right now, after I've seen all this barrage, I'd stick one in someone's ear and quiet the crowd down.
They don't do that anymore. Why doesn't anyone get – how come pitchers don't stick one in the ear anymore?
Well, because hitters charge the mound and umpires start throwing people out. In the old days, you know, Marichal threw it at the Dodgers and Drysdale threw it at the Giants. And
now you got Craig Biggio wearing a
– threw at everybody.
You got Craig Biggio wearing a space-age elbow protector, and he sticks his elbow over the inside corner of the plate.
Mo Vaughn, same thing.
How in the world are you supposed to move him off the plate?
You can't, exactly. If you hit him, you're doing him a favor. You're putting him on base. You got to pitch him in to get him out. And, there's got to be some it's really gotten to be the gladiators, and pitchers are out there just serving it up.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF. We're talking to Bill Lee, the spaceman, the left-hander, used to play for the Boston Red Sox in the 1975 World Series against the Reds, and a little later with the Montreal Expos. And we're talking a little bit about Mark McGuire's big home run tonight, breaking Roger Maris's record. Now, Mr. Lee, does it seem like a coincidence to you or not that this home run record has stood for over 35 years, and all of a sudden you get a season in which there's expansion teams, the ball is probably wound a little tighter than usual, if you know what I'm saying, and Bud Selig and the rest of the, you know, front office of Major League Baseball is probably panicking with all the troubles that baseball's had with PR and the strike and the loss of fans. Do you think that perhaps the fact that not only is McGuire breaking the record, but Sosa just very well might as well, two guys are going to break it in one season, is that a coincidence or not?
Well, no, it's a summation of forces, and it's a summation of bad pitching for 25 years coming out of Little League, not getting to swing the bat with the designated hitter rule installed. You're getting a lot of specialization. You got not getting good coaching, especially for pitchers at a young age. You've got the aluminum bat that they have to deal with in college. They're all neurotic by the time they get out of college. And you don't get guys that can pitch inside because you jam them and they hit monster home runs. You pitch them out over the plate and they hit the ball out of the park the other way with the aluminum bat. So you're getting pitchers that really don't know how to pitch. All they're doing is throwing, and they try to pump up their velocity. And when you do that, you don't learn how to throw strikes, and you're just trying to throw the ball by people. And by the time you've learned your trade, it takes you a little while, and management stuff doesn't stick with you that long, and you don't stick with yourself that long if you're always getting your nose knocked in. Look at Maddux. You know, he didn't start out that good. He didn't have that great of stuff, and a guy named Warren Spahn didn't win 20 games until he was 30 years old. And so it's a summation. Plus, there's one thing that people don't take into consideration. This is probably the warmest summer on record, so you've predominantly got southern winds and western winds.
Oh, so you're saying it's because of El Nino then, huh?
A lot has to do with El Nino. And you've had a real warm spring. Look at the temperatures in Texas. Look at the temperatures everywhere else. You've had a wetter than normal year in the Northeast when high humidity creates more lift and the ball tends to carry more. Plus, the wind's always been blowing out. I haven't seen a game. I've been playing a lot of games. I've played 40 games, and the wind's always been blowing out to right for me all day long. So I've said, wow, what a great year to hit.
So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Mark McGwire didn't break the record because he's pumped up on steroids or because there's a conspiracy by Major League Baseball, but it was all because of El Nino.
Not all of it. Just partial.
It sounds good on the radio.
It's a summation of all his force. But his 60-second home run should have been disqualified because he missed first base.
He went back and touched it.
But the coach came out on the field and made contact with him before he touched the bag. And the rule states that a coach cannot make contact with a base runner. And even if he's going to congratulate him, I don't know what the rule says there. But I think it specifically says that coaches can't put their hands on the runners, especially to tell them to hold up or to touch a bag.
I got another question about tonight's game. If you noticed, after the home run, he comes back around home plate. McGwire runs out into the stands, and he's hugging who I think is
Maris's kid.
Yeah, the children of Roger Maris, who had the record before.
That's a nice gesture.
What did he whisper in the girl's ear? I think it was, I didn't mean to do it, it was all Bud Selig's idea.
No. I think he did it pretty spot. I think see, McGwire's come from a tough upbringing, and I think What Maris went through was very difficult, especially in New York. And psychologically, it's very difficult to put up with the press, radio, television, photographers all the time and have any time to yourself. And I can see it was a burden that was really lifted off his shoulders more than a conquest. So it's over. It's done with. And big deal. It's just a record, and records are made to be broken.
Well, he could get 10 more before the end of the season, so it may not be over.
Someone will come around. If designated hitters are still in effect, aluminum bats are still in effect, AstroTurf still in effect, and you look at the chickens that we consume, these Purdue chickens, they've got beards by 5 weeks. You know, we're all puffed up. You take an American over in Paris, you can tell he's the big fat guy that doesn't tip.
You know? The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking to Bill Lee, the spaceman, on WAIF.
Bill, you are the consummate athlete and professional, always kept yourself in tip-top shape during your playing days, kept a careful eye on each and every substance you consumed. What do you think about what they're taking in the clubhouses and dugouts now compared to what some of the guys in the 60s and 70s and 80s were taking?
Well, we took greenies. They take bulk foods and stuff like that probably tastes like paste and everything else. I don't think they have smiles on their face because their food tastes like shit. So I'm just saying, we ate better. We had we spent our meal money, you know, like Tug McGraw said, you know, I spent my meal money on wine, women, and good times, and the other 10% I wasted.
Bill Lee, there's a baseball legend that you can either dispel or support. Do you think Doc Ellis really pitched a no-hitter while tripping on LSD?
No. No, he would have thrown 10-mile-an-hour fastballs and observed him and go, wow.
Oh, my God. You never pitched a game on any kind of a hallucinogenic substance, did you?
No, it was probably a methamphetamine or amphetamine of some type that he thought he was hallucinating because he was all pumped up. But you got to take a grain. You got to realize when when Doc opens his mouth, it's usually, you can tell his lips are moving because he's lying. So, yeah, that's Doc. I've known Doc a long time. And the other time he opens his mouth is to change feet, which most ball players do.
So what do you think about the – he seems like he had a lot of punch and Judy hitters hitting home runs to the opposite field. These guys got to – some of them got to be juiced or the ball's juiced or something's going on. It's anti-pitching again.
Well, the balls that they're hitting out opposite field aren't change-ups. They aren't going out and taking a ball off speed the other way. They're taking mistake fastballs off these young guys throwing hard away. And that's dumb pitching. That's pitching that's afraid to, you know, learn how to pitch. And you don't see a lot of, I mean, McGuire, I've never seen him take a left-hander screwball and hit it out down the right field line. It's usually a mistake pitch, and he usually pulls everything center field or at least left field, or hits the ball. When it's hard away, he hits the ball dead center field. I mean, he's got a perfect home run swing. He's got a perfect build. But you're right, Mickey Morandini, he may hit a home run opposite field, but it's going to be on a fastball away. It's not going to be on an off-speed pitch.
Our lovely and talented producer, Jim, was mentioning how Mickey Morandini looks like he should be hassling old ladies at the gas station.
Well,
he looks like a punk.
Well, Mickey Morandini, he's a ball player. He came up the hard way.
He's tough. I like him, though.
He's a tough kid. He's the last guy that Tony Lucadello signed before he took his diploma and went to the mound and fired a bullet in his head. So that was the last great scout. He signed Mike Schmidt, Ferguson Jenkins. He had a lot to do with Ernie Banks. He signed 59 Major League ball players. Then the Central Scouting Bureau came in, and he took his own life. So baseball has downsized. Baseball has gotten rid of a lot of their old-time bird dogs and stuff. And as much as they try to glorify the game, it's not the same game it was in the past.
Well, what's your record this year, Bill?
Well, we lost our first two games, and we lost our last game, and we won 28 in the middle. So we were 28-3. That was on our last little junket tour across Canada, and then I'm trying to fix my road after the big washout. We've had a lot of floods around here, as you know, a lot of tropical depressions and storms all over the place. So I've got a bunch of turkeys that got – oh, there goes Sosa. Did he get it? No, we got jammed. But anyway, I'm watching the game and doing the play-by-play with you guys.
Well, we sure appreciate it, Bill Lee, and we'll let you get back to taking care of the turkeys and the roads and watching the game.
Yeah.
And it's always a pleasure to have you on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Well, thank you. I'm just a farmer up here in Vermont and trying to stay out of trouble.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bill Lee.